Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading Midland Times for Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. The City of Midland Planning and Zoning Commission held a meeting on August 5th to discuss a request by LCA Inc. on behalf of the YMCA of Midland for a specific use designation, SUD, without term for a child care daycare center on Lot 1, Block 1, YMCA Edition, Section 1, City and County of Midland. This proposed child care center would span approximately 7 acres of land owned by the YMCA, located on the southwest corner of Avalon Drive and Mockingbird Lane. The property is currently being used and is designated as a community center, which is permitted by right in the zoning district, says Elizabeth Triggs, City of Midland Planning and Development Officer, during the meeting. The YMCA is proposing to expand that use to offer some child care services. They are limited in nature to do the definition of the child care daycare, which is very specific and aligns with the state code governing daycares. Conditions for the proposed child care center presented included the following: a screening wall or a fence that is 3 feet 6 inches to 8 feet in height, constructed of masonry, wrought iron, or a combination thereof, located approximately 5 feet south of the Mockingbird Lane right-of-way, a berm with shade trees spaced a maximum of 30 feet apart, no vehicular or pedestrian access to or egress from the property.
Mainly Midland. Grant applications and new hires. Danos Foundation announces grant application deadline. The Danos Foundation is calling for nonprofit organizations to apply for grants through its GIVES program. Danos GIVES, the grant-giving arm of the foundation, provides funding to nonprofits addressing significant challenges in communities where Danos employees live and work. The deadline for nonprofits to apply is August 31st. Quote, through GIVES, the foundation partners with organizations to create sustainable solutions for the vulnerable, hurting, and disadvantaged, end quote, said owner Mark Danos. Quote, this allows us to make a substantial impact and fulfill our purpose of solving big challenges for our communities, end quote. In 2023, the Danos Foundation awarded grants to 14 nonprofit organizations across Louisiana and Texas, with grant amounts ranging from $5,000 to $50,000. Last year's total of $280,000 was the largest annual awarded amount in the foundation's history. Since its inception in 2017, the foundation has distributed over $1.6 million through its programs. For more information and apply for the GIVES grant, visit www.danos.com/foundation. Nonprofits located in areas where Danos employees live and work are eligible, including the Gulf Coast, Permian Basin, Eagle Ford Shale, and the Rocky Mountain regions of Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana. Priority is given to organizations focused on sustainable care for people and building strong families. Applications must be submitted by 11:59 p.m. on August 31st. Awards will be announced in January 2025. Basin PBS announces selection of new education director. Basin PBS announced the selection of Tadriana McAllister as its new education director. McAllister will join the Basin PBS team beginning August 5th. McAllister's educational journey began at the University of Texas of the Permian Basin, where she earned a bachelor's degree in multidisciplinary studies with a major in education in 2018. Her professional experience is extensive, spanning various teaching roles over the years. Most recently, she served as a 9th and 11th grade science teacher at Texas Leadership Charter Academy in Midland. McAllister has also held positions as an elective teacher for human growth and development and as a science teacher for 6th through 8th grades at Texas Leadership Charter Academy, where she taught state standards and prepared students for the STAR assessment. Her experience also includes teaching 5th grade at Burleson Elementary in Odessa and working as an after-school teacher at We Care, No. 1 Learning Center in Midland. Quote, we are incredibly excited to have Tadriana join our team, end quote, said Laura Wolf, executive director and CEO of Basin PBS. Quote, her extensive experience in education and her passion for fostering learning and development make her a valuable addition to our organization. Erica Thomas to join PBS as director of development and donor engagement. Erica Thomas has joined Basin PBS as the new Director of Development and Donor Engagement. She started August 1st. Thomas is a native of the Permian Basin and has called the Midland-Odessa area home since graduating from the University of Texas of the Permian Basin, UTPB. Previously, Thomas spent 10 years as an educator at Midland ISD, and while there had taken on various leadership roles, including department chair and advisor for both the Student Council and the National Junior Honor Society, NJHS. However, her dedication extended beyond the classroom, organizing educational trips to Washington, D.C. and New York, which ignited her passion for community engagement and advocacy for education. In addition to her educational endeavors, Thomas also served as the secretary of the board for the Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. She also served as treasurer of Energize Midland Schools. Quote, "I am thrilled to join Basin PBS and look forward to building meaningful relationships with our supporters," end quote, said Thomas. Quote, "Together we can create opportunities that enrich lives and inspire a love for learning and community," end quote. This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. Midland Health. Seeking partners to improve patient experience. Midland Health is seeking community members to partner with to advance best practices. One way that is shown to be effective is the utilization of a Patient and Family Advisory Council, PFAC. In a PFAC, volunteer patients and families provide valuable insights to hospitals. There's a wide range of topics that PFACs discuss to ensure that multiple perspectives are taken into account. This allows an opportunity for the views of patients and clinicians to be better understood. Midland Health is eager to add one more way for patients and families' perspectives to be provided. Midland Health's mission of leading health care for Greater Midland can only be achieved with the inclusion of our community. Our partnership will help us all achieve the vision of being the healthiest community in Texas. Our PFAC provides an opportunity for community members to effectively partner with our clinicians and support teams to improve the overall experience for all patients. It is paramount that a PFAC be a representation of the entire community that Midland Health strives to serve. The hope is to include patients and families that have had experiences in many ways with our health system. For example, patients who have visited our emergency department, had an inpatient stay, or have used any of the great outpatient services that Midland Health provides. As our community becomes more diverse, we also seek to ensure that our PFAC is equally diverse. This will ensure that all Midlanders and beyond have an opportunity to have their voice heard when it comes to the care provided. PFAC meetings will happen regularly throughout the year. Meetings will be held virtually with the prospect of transitioning to in-person in the future. Regular meetings will allow the council to be active participants in working towards our organizational goals. It will be important for the PFAC to be introduced to Midland Health goals and establish goals of their own. Achieving this will require a structured orientation provided to PFAC members. Our plan is to gain perspective on various policies, care practices, and education materials. As we work to improve quality metrics, patient safety results, and patient experience survey results will be provided to gain valuable insight from our patients and families. The PFAC will provide an additional opportunity to increase patient and family-centered care through Midland Health. Midland Health will host a Q&A session at 7 p.m. August 13th for any community members who have interest or questions for the PFAC. An application to serve on the PFAC can be completed on our Midland Health website, www.midlandhealth.org. Applicants will be contacted and interviewed for appointment to the PFAC. Meeting dates will be determined based on availability of appointed members. What to know? IBS and digestive trouble are in the social media spotlight. Are you spending more time in the bathroom than you'd like? Loads of TikTok posts show you're not alone. Young people, especially women, are increasingly talking on social media about gastrointestinal distress such as irritable bowel syndrome or chronic bloating. Some experts say that's mostly a good thing because it may help others seek help for a topic that has been taboo. But they stress it's important to realize that many people are being paid to promote sometimes unproven products, and there is rampant misinformation. Here's what else medical professionals suggest you do if you're experiencing digestive discomfort. Why are more young people talking about digestive problems online? It's not clear whether there's a rise in digestive troubles overall. Some experts attribute the trend to an uptick in anxiety after the pandemic in an already anxious generation. Ample research and science shows that our brain and gut are connected through nervous systems. That means when your brain is anxious and you're feeling depressed, it can relay those signals to your gut, which can make it harder for your gastrointestinal tract to function properly. The causes of irritable bowel syndrome are unknown, but experts say the nervous system has a big effect on the condition, and stress can make symptoms worse. Dr. Nina Gupta, a gastroenterologist based in Chicago, said managing her patients' conditions often includes managing their mental health. When should you go to the doctor? That depends on the level of your discomfort, said Dr. Uma Naidu, Massachusetts General Hospital's Director of Nutritional and Lifestyle Psychiatry. She studies the connection between food and the brain. Abrupt changes in bowel habits are concerning, she said, and may require further evaluation. Quote, for example, someone that didn't really have digestive issues as a child or throughout their life, and then all of a sudden is finding a very severe and significant change in their bowel habits, end quote, she said. Quote, these are all things that we would want someone to talk to their doctor about, end quote. And if you see blood in your stool, no matter the quantity or degree of frequency, or have ongoing diarrhea for more than a couple of weeks, seek care immediately. What can I do to relieve digestive pain? Naidu said some mindfulness practices like stress management, meditation, and breath work can help. Food sensitivities can trigger IBS symptoms, so adjusting your diet and exercising more also may make a difference. Microplastics are everywhere, but are they harming us? New York. Microplastics have been found in the ocean and in the air, in our food and water. They have been found in a wide range of body tissues, including the heart, liver, kidneys, and even testicles. But are they actually harming you? Evidence suggests they might, but it's limited in scope. Some researchers are worried, but acknowledge there are lots of unanswered questions. Dr. Maria Zlatnik, a San Francisco-based obstetrician who has studied environmental toxins and pregnancy, has seen studies raising concerns about microplastics' impact on the health of babies and adults. But it's a young research field, and it's not something she generally discusses with patients. Quote, I'm not entirely sure what to say yet, end quote, Zlatnik said. Here's a look at what's known so far. What are microplastics? Plastics are man-made materials, many of them derived from oil or other petroleum products. They can break down into smaller particles through exposure to heat and weather and even animal digestion. Researchers have increasingly been interested in microplastics, which can be as wide as a pencil eraser or as small as a fraction of the width of a human hair. Nanoplastics, another area of study, are even smaller. These minuscule plastics have been detected in air, water, and soil, in milk, and in bottled and tap drinking water. They also have been found in a variety of foods, including salt, sugar, honey, rice, and seafood. Are there microplastics in you? Most likely, yes. There is scientific debate about how much people inhale and ingest, and it can vary on what they eat and drink and where they live, researchers say. Some Australian researchers, on behalf of the World Wildlife Fund, calculated in 2019 that many people each week consume roughly 5 grams of plastic from common food and beverages, the equivalent of a credit card. That estimate is not universally embraced by researchers, but is commonly mentioned in news articles. Researchers are still trying to understand exposure levels, but study after study is finding signs of plastics in body tissues. Quote, microplastics have been measured in pretty much all of the body tissues that have been evaluated, end quote, said Tracy Woodruff, a University of California at San Francisco researcher. Scientists have even reported finding them in the penis, in ovaries, and in placentas. Will microplastics hurt you? That's still being sorted out. A 2022 World Health Organization report concluded that there was no clear risk to human health based on the available evidence. there is also not an obvious signal of widespread public health impact, at least in terms of mortality. Cancer, heart disease, and stroke death rates have been falling, not rising. But researchers only started measuring plastics in the human body and trying to assess the health effects in recent years. Some of that work is only coming to fruition now. It makes sense that microplastics are harmful because they contain toxic chemicals, said Woodruff, who was part of a team that reviewed nearly 2,000 studies about microplastics at the request of California legislators. It may be, for example, that microplastics play a role in rising occurrences of some cancers in young people, she said. Available information indicates plastics can spark inflammation and cause other problematic changes in the body that can, for example, raise the rise of heart attack and stroke. A small study in the New England Journal of Medicine earlier this year suggested, but did not prove, that patients with evidence of plastics in their arteries were at greater risk of death from heart attacks and strokes. But an expert not involved in the research suggested the study may have overstated any effects. Quote, even though there's a lot we still don't know about microplastic particles and the harm they cause to humans, the information that is available today is, in my mind, very concerning, end quote, said Dr. Philip Lanrigan of Boston College. What can you do about microplastics? There are ways to reduce potential microplastics exposure, researchers say. Take your shoes off before you go in the house to avoid tracking in plastics-laden dust, not to mention germs, dirt, and other debris throughout your home. Eat foods, especially fresh fruits and vegetables, that you prepare in the home. Don't microwave a meal in a plastic tray, no matter what TV dinner instructions might say, Woodruff said. And opt for reusable stainless steel or glass water bottles rather than disposable plastic ones, she added. Zlatnik, the obstetrician, noted that families with limited incomes may have bigger things to worry about. Quote, if someone is worried about where their next meal is going to come from, I'm not going to give them advice to keep their leftovers in glass containers and to not microwave in plastic, end quote, she said. Teachers say meditation breaks are helping students' mental health. Rex, Georgia. The third grade students at Roberta T. Smith Elementary School had only a few days until summer vacation and an hour until lunch, but there was no struggle to focus as they filed into the classroom. They were ready for one of their favorite parts of the day. The children closed their eyes and traced their thumbs from their foreheads to their hearts as a pre-recorded voice led them through an exercise called the shark fin, part of the classroom's regular meditation routine. Quote, listen to the chimes, end quote, said the teacher, Kim Franklin. Quote, remember to breathe, end quote. Schools across the U.S. have been introducing yoga, meditation, and mindfulness exercises to help students manage stress and emotions. As the depths of students' struggles with mental health became clear in the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention last year endorsed schools' use of the practices. Research has found school-based mindfulness programs can help, especially in low-income communities where students face high levels of stress or trauma. The mindfulness program reached Smith Elementary through a contract with the school system, Clayton County Public Schools, where two-thirds of the students are Black. Greenlight Fund Atlanta, a network that matches communities with local nonprofits, helps Georgia school systems pay for the mindfulness program provided by Inner Explorer, an audio platform. Jolie Cooper, Greenlight Fund Atlanta's executive director, said it was important to the group to support an organization that is accessible and relevant for communities of color in the greater Atlanta area. Children nationwide struggled with the effects of isolation and remote learning as they returned from the pandemic school closures. The CDC in 2023 reported more than a third of students were affected by feelings of persistent sadness and hopelessness. The agency recommended schools use mindfulness practices to help students manage emotions. Quote, we know that our teenagers and adolescents have really strained in their mental health, end quote. CDC Director Dr. Mandy Cohen told the Associated Press. Quote, there are real skills that we can give our teens to make sure that they are coping with some big emotions, end quote. The Inner Explorer program guides students and teachers through 5 to 10 minute sessions of breathing, meditating, and reflecting several times a day. The program also is used at Atlanta Public Schools and over 100 other districts across the country. Teachers and administrators say they have noticed a difference in their students since they've incorporated mindfulness into their routine. For Anaya Woods, 9, the program has helped her, quote, calm down, end quote, and, quote, not stress anymore, end quote. Quote, I love myself how I am, but Inner Explorer just helps me feel more like myself, end quote, Anaya said.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading The Odessa American for Saturday, August 3rd, 2024. Religion. Parable of 10 virgins shows need for preparation. Reverends Raleigh and Archie say Jesus' story is a harbinger of the future. By Bob Campbell. Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, to emphasize the necessity of preparing for his return. That's according to the Reverends Donnie Raleigh and Windsor Archie, who say the 5 foolish virgins who didn't bring oil for their lamps were shut out when the bridegroom arrived, while the 5 wise ones who had brought oil were admitted to the wedding banquet. We have to work with the gifts that have been given to us, and that will allow others to be presented to Jesus Christ and show who he is, said the Reverend Raleigh, pastor of Manna of the Word Ministries. Whatever has been given to you, work it in obedience to Christ. We have to work the gift he has given. Don't bury it or sit on it or do nothing. Raleigh said gifts are given to Christians like the abilities to speak, sing, or in other ways to serve, not to show how gifted we are, but to show the giver of the gift. It is not for us to get the hour and the glory out of it. It is to turn people to Jesus. He said the 5 wise virgins show the wisdom of prayer. Ask what it is that God would have you do, Raleigh said. They heard the word of God and did what that word called them to do. We need to know what God has given us, walk in that, and be the light in the dark world. The Reverend Archie, pastor of Rose of Sharon Missionary Baptist Church, said the 5 wise virgins knew the bridegroom would eventually arrive, and they made preparations like people should prepare for Jesus' second coming. Citing Matthew 24:36, Archie said, "No man knows the day or the hour. Some are like the foolish virgins and have not made any preparations. That's what separates the wise from the foolish and the saints from the sinners." He said the most essential preparation is to obey God's word. The most important commands are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Archie said, if we learn how to do those things, we will be prepared for Jesus' arrival whenever he shows up. If you don't love God, you can't love your neighbor. He said the mass shootings around the nation show that there is not much love in the world. It's the work of the devil, Archie said. He wants us to hate one another. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. Elijah flees to save his life. 1 Kings 19. King Ahab told Queen Jezebel how Elijah had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to tell him, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah ran to the desert, and coming to a broom tree, he sat down under it and prayed that he might die. He told the Lord that he had enough and asked him to take his life, and then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. An angel touched him and told him to get up and eat. Looking around, he saw a cake of bread and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and told Elijah to get up and eat, for the journey would be too much for him. Elijah obeyed, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.